Well, good morning, New Hope. Who is loving this weather? Christmas is in 7 weeks. So that's your warning for gifts. Church, before I start, there's 2 things I want to do. First of all, I want to say happy birthday to a Marine. So I know today's a birthday. And second of all, tomorrow's Veterans Day. So we just want to say to all of our veterans, thank you for your sacrifice and your service to our country. Let's give a round of applause to honor our veterans. Last week, we started a new series called The Real Flex. For those who were not here last week or are new with us today, The Real Flex is a slang word that Gen Z's or millennials were used to show off something, to be proud of something. So they'll use it like this. I am so happy and I'm flexing that my team won. Some of you guys have your commander shirts on today, so you guys are flexing your team. So we use the flex word like this, right? But as followers of Jesus, as followers of Christians, the real flex starts with seeking ways to love others well. The real flex starts with seeking ways to love others well. We saw how Moses had this battle between his brain, his strength, the brawn, the muscles, and when God called him to serve his ministry, he felt that he wasn't the right guy for it. He felt that he wasn't fit for the task or this job. So God listened to him and provided support by having his brother Aaron joining him. So we saw how the partnership between Moses and Aaron used true strength and come together to impact their kingdom by working together to impact God's kingdom. We say that we need both thinkers and heavy lifters. We need both skills and brains to come together and make a difference as we are loving other people. And we also say that God can work wonders when we come together as we are impacting his kingdom. We also say that the real flex starts with teamwork. So this morning, we are going to look at a different mindset, a different battle that we have, which is head versus heart, passion versus intellect. Have you ever been in a situation where you have the right heart to help somebody, but as you're helping that person, you end up making it worse? To give you an example, maybe you want to help a friend who's in a situation. So you call him, you text him every day. You offer advice every day. You try to fix things every day. And that friend feels overwhelmed by you. And instead of helping him, you're just making it worse for him. Husbands, that happens to us sometimes. Our wives come to us and they just want us to listen to them, not to jump in to fix everything. That's something I'm learning as a husband, that Joanna just wants me to listen, not to fix it. But my heart wants to make everything easier for her. If she would do it like this, she doesn't have to go through this. And she doesn't want me to fix it, right? Here's another example where our heart is in the right place, but maybe the way we approach it doesn't help it. Maybe you are concealing information for a person you care for. Maybe there's something you're holding back because you don't want to hurt that person's feelings, and you're not telling that person what's going on. But then the bad news happens. That person ends up finding out, and when that person finds out that you knew, then they come back to you and be like, why you didn't tell me? If you knew this, why you didn't mention it to me? My grandfather, 2 years ago, I was dealing with cancer. So we as a family decided not to tell my grandpa that I was going through cancer. And we concealed that information from him. That was 2 years ago. 2 months ago in September, I went to Memphis. And I, as I usually do, went to see my grandpa. And my grandpa tells me, Yayo, I am not stupid. I knew what was happening. I mean, I know what you went through, but I knew something was happening. Please, don't conceal information from me. My grandpa has bipolar, so there's things that will trigger him. But he came up to me, and he's like, stop hiding things from me. You don't have to give me the details. Just tell me, hey, I'm going through surgery, or I'm sick. I know the family may think I may get triggered, but I'm not dumb. I know the things what's going on. And sometimes we get into this battle between our brain versus our heart, and we don't know how to balance it. Our hearts, our emotion, our passion can trick us at times. Our brain, our logic, our intellect can also hold us back and trick us. But church, we need both of them. And we need to work on how to balance both of them. So this morning, we are going to study Acts 17, the whole chapter. In fact, for your homework, you will study the whole chapter of Acts 17. I'm just going to break it down for you guys. But we see here Paul as a brilliant thinker with a great heart. And he gives us examples in how brain and heart work together. For those who don't know Paul is the man that God used to start a bunch of churches. He's also the man who wrote about 14 letters in the New Testament. So Paul is a very important guy. And Paul had one mission, and that's to share the love of Jesus Christ. So he had three mission trips. And in his second mission trip, he went to this city, to three cities. And the cities are Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens. Those are the three cities he went to. And in each city, we see that Paul had a pattern, a rhythm in how he started churches or showed the love of God. And I want us to see his rhythm. Acts 17. As was Paul's custom, he went to the synagogue service. And for three Sabbaths in a row, he used the scriptures to reason with the people. He explained the prophecies and proved that the Messiah must suffer and raise from the dead. He said, "This Jesus I'm telling you about is the Messiah." So that was Paul's pattern. He would introduce Jesus and have conversations in the synagogue showing the gospel. But while Paul is in Berea, he had to leave that city quickly because he was being persecuted by people who did not agree with him. So he was forced to escape to Athens by himself, and he was waiting in that city for Silas and Timothy. So now we see Paul by himself in Athens. Athens was, or still is, the capital of Greece and is the pivotal center of art, architecture, literature, and politics. So when you think of Athens, just think of D.C., where you go under that memorial bridge and you start seeing those statues and you start seeing those monuments and how beautiful that is. Every time I go through there, I'm thinking, wow, this is just like the movies. And it's so beautiful, right? So this is what Paul is seeing in Athens. He's going into the city, but he starts seeing also people worshiping different idols. And his heart starts feeling disappointed. He's like, whoa. Broken. He's trying to figure out what's happening here. And I love this part because we get to see what Paul does. He shares Jesus. He does what he usually does. He follows his pattern. He follows his rhythm. And during this rhythm and during this pattern, he's talking to a group of philosophers. And as they are talking, they invite him to speak in the council in Athens. So he's now invited to go preach or talk about his faith in the council. And this is where it gets unique in Paul's rhythm and template. He changes the way he preaches. He wanted to meet with their culture. He wanted to make sure they understand them. And he changes his rhythm. And this is what Paul does. He gives this very intellect speech, philosophical speech. And I want us just to see the intro of it. So just picture that we are listening to Paul. So this is Paul talking with an accent, okay? "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way." So now picture his voice being deep, talking to all these wise people. "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way." And then Paul starts giving his speech and starts saying, "You have shrines and you have different gods and different temples, but there is this shrine here that says the unknown God." And that's when he's like, "That's God the creator. That's God." And in this beautiful philosophical speech and intellect speech, Paul forgot to mention Jesus. He doesn't mention Jesus Christ. And in fact, this is the close he gets to mentioning Jesus. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laugh in contempt, but others say, we want to hear more about this later. So Paul didn't get a punch of Jesus, right? He didn't. Some scholars will say that Paul fell. I disagree with that. I don't think he fell, and we'll go into it later. But many scholars will say this is Paul's failure, and let's learn from them, which I disagree. He didn't. And the reason why I can say, because people still believe in Christ. People still believe in Jesus, even though he didn't establish a church there. So I would love for us to see the heart of Paul. We see the heart of Paul in action. His passion for sharing Jesus and his example reminds us that the heart can be the pulse that drives us into action. The heart can be the pulse that drives us into action. The reason why I am here speaking today, because I love Christ and I want you guys to see and hear the message of Jesus Christ. The reason why we have a church here at New Hope, because we want the world to hear the good news. That's our pulse. That's our energy. That's where we want everyone to hear that Jesus loves you. And Paul had that passion here. We see that passion. And he wanted to connect with this group of people in Athens by sounding just like them. So Paul does what a jazz musician does. He improvises and changes his rhythm. He went probably from a country style to a blues style so he can meet the people where they're at. And that's beautiful. There we go. How he does that. Paul's heart was in the right place. And this reminds us that success isn't always measurable. Success isn't always measurable. Just because Paul didn't start a church there doesn't mean he failed. Just because Paul didn't start a church there doesn't mean he did a mistake. And the reason why I can say this, people still believe in Jesus Christ. And I want us to see here, Acts 17 says this. But some joined him and became together, let's all say, and became believers. Among them were Dionysius, a member of the council, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. God still used Paul. So I would disagree with the scholars that would say that he failed. He didn't. But sometimes success isn't measurable. And it's okay if you feel that it didn't work out. God will make it work out. So now I want us to go to the brain of Paul. Here's something that Paul does very well. He pivots to connect with his audience, and his brain started to work. So he wanted to sound like them. He wanted to connect with them. He wanted to have a common ground with him. So I want us to read a little bit of his speech, and this is what he says. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by a craftsman from gold or silver or stone. So yes, Paul is sounding very philosophical here. Paul's speech, it's beautiful, and yes, it may be a little bit incomplete because he doesn't mention Jesus. But maybe Paul was establishing something first here. He wanted to just meet them where they are and use the things around his surroundings to connect with the people of Athens. That's the brain of Paul working, trying to connect with Athens, with the people. So to love people well, we need to meet them where they are. And that's what Paul does. Paul meets the people of Athens where they are. He's trying to understand them. He's trying to figure it out. He's trying to understand the audience, the context, why they're doing this. And he's meeting them where they are by showing God, the love of God. So, church, we need both brain and heart. Both of them go together. Brain and heart go together. We need wisdom to discern, and faith to trust God through prayer. So here it goes. I want to say this. The real flex starts with prayer. The real flex starts with prayer. Prayer is key as we are looking ways to love others well. We need to find a good balance between heart and brain, especially when things get hard. Especially when you're in the middle of that storm and you're going through these issues and these problems. Prayer will give you that peace that you need. Philippians says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When we pray, peace comes in. When we pray, we can start balancing our brain, our heart, our emotions. I was telling a story this morning that I have a disciple of mine, one of the persons I'm guiding, who made a big step yesterday. He went to ask the blessing to the father so he can marry his daughter. He called me. He's like, Yayo, can you pray for me? I'm doing this step. And I'm happy for him. I'm encouraging him. He texts me that same an hour later that the father didn't give him the blessing. Now, he's a Christian. He's a believer. But I understand the father why he may not give him the blessing. How do I balance my heart and my brain? How do I help him, loving him as well, but helping him understand? So church, pray for me. Because I got to talk to him and guide him through this situation. I don't want him to go rogue and go against his father. I don't want him to do that. I know David's a great person. He loves people. He loves Jesus. He's a great man. And any girl would be lucky to be with him. But I also know and understand the father's point of view. Now, I'm married. I've been married for 4 years, so I understand the father's point of view. I get it. He's not there yet. So how me as a believer can help him? So one of the things I have to do, I have to meet him where he's at. Yes, he's hurt. There's a lot of emotions going on. So now I have to introduce Jesus without him going rogue in this situation. So that's why we can say this. We are called to rely on God through prayer in our certain times and trust that he works in ways we may not see. We are called to rely on God through prayer in our certain times and trust that he works in ways we may not see. The balance between mind and heart helps us depend on God. And yes, right now my friend needs to pray. He needs to spend time with God and talk to God. And my job as a pastor is to pray for him and try my best to guide him. Life is happening for him. He's going through a tough situation. He's driving 8 hours right now. And his brain is probably wondering so many things. So once I'm done here, the first thing I'm doing, I'm calling him. And I will love for him. But at the same time, I go try to balance brain and heart. Church, the real flex starts with prayer. So please pray for me. And also, prayer helps us love others well. When we are praying, it helps us love other people well. So there's three lessons we can learn from Paul. Lesson number one, perceive the need. Paul began his missions in Athens by observing. He observed what was going around the city. He observed and he noticed that they were worshiping different gods, different idols. So Paul recognized the need for both head and heart in this situation. So Paul's response suggests that while God calls us to intellectual engagement, our approach should be driven by a compassionate heart. And that's what we can say. To love people well, we need to meet them where they are. We need to meet people where they are. It's not our job to judge people. It's not our job to criticize people. It's our job to love on people, to show who God is, to show them and guide them and show the love of God to people, not to become the judges. And unfortunately, sometimes as believers, we act that way. And that's not our role as believers. Our role is to love people and meet them where they are. If you're a believer, just remember, where were you when you first met Christ? I was broken. And I shouldn't be preaching. And I think that I shouldn't be here sometimes preaching. Because I was so bad back when I was younger. But Jesus showed different and did different in me. I remember where I came from. And that keeps me moving forward. And that should keep all of us moving forward to meet people where they are. Number two, the second lesson we can learn here. Present with wisdom. When you see a need, take some time to process. Don't just jump into action. Process the information. Process what's going around. And that's what we see Paul doing. Paul paused and looked around and kind of analyzed what was going on. If you are with a team, talk to your team. Ask your team for an advice. Something I love about New Hope is that we talk among each other to see how we can help each other, how we can help our ministries. We support each other. We get ideas from each other. So that's why last week I said that the real flex starts with teamwork, and at New Hope, we practice that. So we ask you as well that as you are moving forward, you need to also look at the information and make sure you understand what's going around there. And that's why the real flex begins with prayer. The real flex starts with prayer. You need to ask God, but not ask God only when you're having dinner. No. Ask God every day. Talk to God. Prayer means, a definition of prayer is you talking to God. God does not need for you to have a big theological sentences. He doesn't need you to be all smart and give all these nice wisdom words. No, God will listen to you just like you are, just as it is. God listens to me with my accent and in Spanish and in English and Spanglish. He listens to me just like I am. And we don't need to get complicated with God. God knows your heart. God knows where you're coming from. God knows what you're struggling with. So when we talk to God, guess what? He does listen. But don't just talk to him during dinner. God, thank you for this meal. Amen. Let's go eat. Don't do that. Because that's what we do. No. Wake up. Pray. Something I've been doing in I-95, in that beautiful traffic, I'm praying. I'm 6:45 heading to the office. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm like, God, thank you for the traffic. Thank you, even though sometimes I get frustrated. God, help me be a better husband. Help me work better with my team. Help me teach others how to walk like Jesus. Help me be an example. So I'm constantly talking to God. And that's what Paul does here. That's what Paul teaches us here. He's trying to connect with people. Even though he didn't share Jesus directly, he established God's nature first, trying to connect with the group around him. That's what he did. So I believe he did not fail. He did a great job because people still believe in Christ. So the third lesson we learn from Paul is this: proclaim the truth. Paul's heart was to share Jesus. He saw and noticed the situation, so he changed everything so he can share the truth of Jesus Christ. If we are saying that we are seeking ways to love others well, we need to share Jesus, and we need to love people and share the love of Jesus. And Paul teaches us. Paul does teach us later. Paul did not share Jesus in this part, but later we see another card that Paul writes. 1 Corinthians says this: when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I rely only on the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a different letter. This is to a different crowd. This is in Corinth. This is not in Athens. And I think Paul is a little bit older. So I learned that in this message, I can see that Paul is saying, don't get complicated. Just go straight forward and share Jesus. Jesus is not complicated. And if you say, what's the message of Jesus? He loves you, he cared for you, he died for you, and he's waiting for you to accept him. That's the message of Jesus. He loves you, first of all. You may feel not love right now, but let me tell you, you're going to feel love after here because Jesus loves you. You may feel that you are struggling with a situation where Jesus cares for you and he wants to carry your burdens. You may feel rejected. Well, guess what? They reject Jesus, but Jesus won't reject you either. When you start walking with Jesus, when you start believing in Jesus Christ, your whole life will change. Your life will be transformed and you will start making a difference. So that's the message of God. God will meet you where you are. And that's what we see here in Paul. Paul is teaching us here that we need to meet people where they are. We need to love people like Jesus loved them. And sometimes that means we have to be patient with people. I know that's hard. But we have to be patient. Just think of this. I'm very crazy sometimes. And I tell God, God, thank you. You're so patient with me. I know I drive you crazy sometimes. But we are called to do the same for others. We need to love others. We need to care for others. And here's another thing that we get to do. We have to learn how to forgive others. And that's also hard. Forgiving is not easy. It's hard, but Jesus forgave you too. And he loves you, and he died for you. So we have to start walking in those steps. And it's a process sometimes. You're not going to be able to forgive tomorrow right away. But if you start working into that, you start reflecting more of Jesus and less of you. Before I come to the stage, before I preach, I tell Jesus, Lord, less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you. Because I want him to be the one speaking. Not me, not my knowledge, not Yahya's wisdom, but the Holy Spirit to be talking to you. So church, God loves you. And he will meet you where you are. And maybe today you are tired. Maybe today you are overwhelmed. Maybe today you came to New Hope because a friend invited you. But let me tell you this. If Paul was here right now preaching, he'll tell you this. Do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And you can make that decision today as well. It's easy. All you have to do is repent. God, I'm not perfect. I surrender my sins to you and tell him, I want you in my heart. And there's a welcome card in front of you that you can fill out and we'll reach out to you. Or you want to talk to us, you can come talk to our staff. But here's another thing. Maybe you haven't got baptized yet. Well, today could be your first step to get baptized. Right after service, we're having a baptized meeting. For kids, it's upstairs. Students and adults will be meeting here, and Robin will tell that more information. Or maybe you already got baptized, you already accepted Christ, but you just feel broken. Well, Jesus is there for you. And he's hearing you. He wants to be there with you. And you have to give him that opportunity by praying. During our second song, we'll have people in our aisles. And you can come and they'll pray for you. But church, we need to rely on God through prayer. Even though when it seems impossible, we need to trust that God is working. And that's something that we learn from Paul. Paul shows us that he saw the need. He saw his heart. His intellect was like, okay, we need to do something. And he starts sharing Jesus. And people believe him. More than three people accepted Christ. That's beautiful. I don't think Paul failed. Paul did a great job. And we can learn from this. We can learn from all of this. So church, the real flex starts with prayer. The real flex starts with teamwork. The real flex starts with seeking ways to love others well. So I would like for us to flex today. Last week, we were flexing our muscles and our strength. Today, I want to flex how we as a church at New Hope are putting into practice our brain and our heart here at New Hope. First of all, in the last 2 weeks, we raised over $17,000 for FMSE. Yes. Let's flex that. We came together to make a difference. We came together to make a difference. And church, also, our FMSE signups are full. They are full, okay? But if you want to serve, keep checking online because spots may be open up. But maybe you like, I want to do something else. I want to continue helping. Well, you still can go online and buy some boxes, I think. But there's still ways you can do. But here's another thing I want to flex. I'm very proud to say this. Do you know that New Hope is home of the silo? And if you don't know what's the silo, you're about to see pictures here. Here in the silo, we have over 150 kids that come in and out from our church building. They meet here Monday to Friday. Okay? That's our silo program. Do you know that the auditorium turns into a skating ring? Here! I'm excited to see it in fall a couple of times. Do you know since school began in September, we already hosted elementary age kids 6 days when the county was closed so parents can go to work? Do you know that? Do you know monthly we welcome parents to volunteer so our teachers can take time and sharpen their skills? Do you know that some of the 150 kids visited our pumpkin patch where 70 of them were harvested here? We have a pumpkin harvest. That's cool. Did you know that we have a big yellow school bus that our own CDL drivers can drive so they can take kids, so parents can drop them off early and parents can go get to work on time? Do you know that? Here's the cool thing about this. Every time you see that school bus, it's not there just taking space. It's there for a purpose. And his purpose is to help us love our community better. Do you know that our silo programs offer high schools and college students flexible schedule hours so they can work and make some extra cash here? Do you know when school is out, we have an 8-week summer camp? That's us working together to make a difference. When I started working here, people would have told me, what's the silo? That's the silo. It's one church working together. And something I love, and I didn't say this morning, it's not New Hope and the silo. No, it's New Hope and the silo together. And we call it like this, New Hope, home of the silo. We are making a difference together, church. We are impacting together. You're giving. It's making a difference. When you give financially, it helps us with it. Your time, volunteering, helping, makes a difference as well. Your hours, your sweat makes a difference. In 2 weeks, or next week, we have a Christmas market. And we're going to volunteer, so you can sign up to volunteer there. We are making a difference there. And everything we are raising is to FMSE. Church, your prayer makes a difference. Maybe I know some people can give. I know some people can volunteer. But I do tell you this. I know everyone can pray. And we need prayers. We have people coming in and out of our building all the time. We need prayers so we can know how to love them well. So we can show the love of Christ well. So we need your prayers. We need your help here. We need you to pray for our staff. Our Amanda, Julie, and Eve are doing a great job in our silo programs. They need prayer support. They need your prayer support. Our kids ministry, our student ministry, our adult ministry needs your prayer. Because church, it's not you and us. It's us together as a one church to make the difference. And you're part of this. You are part of this. Every Tuesday, we have our CR here as well. You know, but I can continue talking and talking of events that are happening here and lives are being transformed. Lives are being changed. And you may not know this, but it's because of you as well. Because you are here, because you support, because you give, because you volunteer. So church, we need your prayer. So today, I want to tell you this. The real flex starts with prayer, and let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for who you are. Lord, today I pray for all of our programs that we have here in New Hope. We pray for our silo programs. Lord, we pray for our ministries, for our leaders. Lord, we pray that we as a church can come together every day to find ways to love others well. Lord, thank you for giving us the honor and the blessing of being part of this amazing and beautiful team. Lord, we love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you will meet us where we are. And thank you, Father, that Jesus came and rose and defeated death, and now we are free in his name. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Thank you, church.